Schoko così di Shiki Kisondo Toto Siata. Holy is the Lord. Renda Nasoto. I don't even know what this word means, so I'm waiting. But he gave me the word dissonance. Dissonance. And I don't know what that is or what that's about. Not in alignment. And I don't know what that means, though, to somebody, but I feel like the Lord, whatever that is, something is being brought into alignment. And I think it has to do with someone in here. It's not that you have a divided heart, but you struggled with double-mindedness. You want one thing, then you want another. And then you really do truly want it, and then you want another. And so you find yourself praying, Lord, set me free. You know, a double-minded man is unstable, and I think that's the dissonance I'm seeing, like two, almost like your heart wants both things, and you've been crying out for, you know, to be single-minded and single-focused, and I feel like the Lord is imparting that to us. Hallelujah. So if anybody needs that, we just say, I receive that in Jesus' name. Again, I'm seeing again wholeness in the area of the mind, the area of the thoughts. There are some people in here that because of what you've lived through, you've actually grown to kind of expect bad things to happen or almost dread certain things. And the Lord loves you, but he says, I'm setting you free from that. I'm gonna transform your life. I don't feel like this is instant. I feel like he is going to lead you on a journey where you're going to become one of the most positive people. Instead of always seeing the glass half empty and always feeling like, when is the next shoe going to drop? When's the other shoe going to, what else is going to go on? I see a flip, something that's flipped upside down, and you're being transformed. It's a journey. It's not instant. But God is going to take you on a journey where you're going to become, on the inside, you know, not just on the outside, but on the inside, one of the most positive thinking people, where you're just going to expect the best. You're going to expect good things to happen. You're going to expect God to keep his word. You're going to expect the promises to become a reality. And because of it, you're actually going to cause people to receive what they couldn't before. That faith causes reaction. When we believe the good thing, it actually causes heaven's release. It causes it. God is releasing. I saw somebody, it looked like a vice grip on your back. It has gripped you for way too many years. And it has to do with some things you lived through. And every time you've tried to go forward, this thing would grip you. Like you just couldn't break out of it and go forward. And I saw it just break off like just a piece of plastic. It just broke off. And God said, from now on, you're going to go forward and you're not going back. You're going to go forward and you're not going back. There's somebody here that you have struggled with regret, and with that regret there's a fear that you did the wrong thing and it can never be made right. I don't know who that is, but you've looked back and said, oh, I feel like I blew it. I feel like this thing happened. It shouldn't have happened, and now it can never be made right. And the Lord said, that's not true. I can fix. I can meet you right where you're at. You know, I don't care if you zigged when you should have zagged. If you keep your heart right, I will meet you where you're at, and I will still give you the best. And if you make another mistake, I'll meet you right where you're at, and I'll make another plan. I will adjust the plan to be what is the best for you if you keep your heart towards me. He is saying, no more regret, because you know why? That's destructive. Regret is very destructive. It hurts our heart. It does damage to our soul. And the Lord says, that's not healthy for you, sweetie. He doesn't want you to feel that way. He says, there's nothing I can't fix. There's nothing that I can't fix. I'm bigger than that. And you're saying, well, it was a really big thing. And he's saying, don't underestimate my size. I'm really big. And I'm really able. Can you imagine how the disciples must have felt when Jesus was killed? They left everything to follow him. Everything. Businesses, homes. They left everything to follow this man, believing with all their heart that he was the Messiah. They saw the miracles. And they didn't really understand the resurrection, because when he tried to tell them, you know, they didn't get it, did they? So then he gets killed. Imagine how they must have felt. What? First of all, everybody's trying to kill us now. That's probably how they felt. They'll come after us next. They know we were with them. And second of all, what do we do now? What are we supposed to do? Go fishing again? What are we going to do? What are we supposed to do now? Imagine that. What they're thinking is, this is a bad situation, and they could not see how big God was. And with one breath of his mouth, one breath of his mouth. Isn't that amazing? And he's saying, if you will trust me with your situations and your husband and your kids and your business and your finances, if you will trust me and begin to learn to expect me to be bigger, expect me to be more powerful, more able, more loving, what that does is says that place is a draw. It's like I'm seeing a faucet, you know, the old-fashioned kind of spigot. And when you turn the handle, it just opens because the water's actually waiting right there. It's water under pressure waiting for the valve to open. When you open the valve, it doesn't summon the water. The water's already like there pressing against, right? And when you open the valve, whew, here it comes. Well, heaven is just like that. Heaven's just like that. All our stuff is actually waiting in the queue for us to just open the valve. It's not as hard as we have made it. I want you to think about some of the things you need from God and some of the things you've been crying out for. And some of them are pretty big things in the earth realm, right? It seems big. And maybe you have a promise you've been standing on. But if not, you should get one. You should get some promises. Know what the Word of God says about your situation. Find out what it says. Get some promises. You hold them up before the Lord and you say, You said, I love you, Lord, and I revere you, but you said. What are you doing? You're holding him to his word, and he likes it. He actually likes when somebody holds him to his word. It pleases him for somebody to, you know, I know we got a situation here, but you said. And I have seen impossible situations turned around when I went and said, pardon me, I love you, I revere you, I want to be respectful and reverent, but I'm going to tell you something, you said. I didn't say it. And I didn't ask you to say it. You said it before I was born. And you will actually feel the pleasure of God because he's like, well, it's about time. It's about time you place a demand. See, a religious spirit, you know why I hate the religious spirit? The religious spirit says, oh, I don't think he wants that for me. I'm not good enough. We never were good enough to be saved. If we were supposed to be good enough, we'd have never got saved. How is it that we think that we could be saved by grace, but we live by works? How is that? It doesn't work that way. We have to understand that Jesus has done it all and we have to receive it all. He purchased it, but you'll only get what you go in after. You can have as much or as little as you want to receive from heaven. It's already yours by covenant right. How many of you have heard me talk about the law of manifestation? Have you heard that? A couple? There's a word in the scriptures called manifestation. And it's interesting because it says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest. It doesn't mean he was created. It means he was hidden. To manifest something is to take something that's not visible or tangible and bring it out in the open where it can be touched, felt, seen, and heard. It is manifested. Jesus Christ, it says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, okay? Where was he before? He was in heavenly places, wasn't he? Because he laid aside his reputation, didn't he? He came into the earth as a man. He was manifested into the earth. Do you know that when he purchased, go take a look at Isaiah 53 and study out all the stuff he paid for. He purchased for us. And here's what happened. He legally purchased it. Now remember, we talked about it earlier, but I feel like God really wants to put this in our spirit, man. He wants this in us. He died to give us hundreds of things, including healing, including joy, including peace, including freedom from depression, grief, and sorrow. If you go into Deuteronomy, you can study what the blessing of the law and what the curse of the law is. It's quite long. And the blessing of the law includes, oh, just so many things, but your enemy will come before you one way and he'll flee seven ways. The work of your hands will be blessed. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. Your livestock, which is today, your business, will be blessed. Pretty much everything you put your hand to do, including all the healing. The curse of the law is all that, every sickness and every disease, and in case we didn't mention all the diseases of Egypt, and in case we forgot any, it says, just every sickness and disease. It's all sickness, all disease. That, and by the way, poverty is part of the curse. Poverty is actually part of the curse of the law. Now, why am I talking about this? Because Jesus, it says, he is the fulfillment of the law to those who believe. He fulfilled it for us, so that stuff has been purchased for us and given to us. And you say, well, where is it? It's in heavenly places. So it needs to be manifested in the earth. He purchased healing. He purchased provision. Blessing for your children, if you have a business, the work of your hands. He blessed it all. It says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Do you hear me? He's redeemed you that, and if you go look up the curse of the law, it can, and a lot of Christians don't know what that means, but all the Jews knew. They all knew, because he made them stand on two mountains and pronounce the blessings and pronounce the cursings. They all knew what it was. So they knew, if you were a Jewish person and you read the New Testament scripture that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, you would be dancing in the street, because you would know that meant he has redeemed you from every sickness, every disease, all poverty. That's a big deal. And a whole bunch more that I'm not listing. I'm not going to teach it right now. We have a lot of stuff that on the back table that describes this. But the point is, if we look at this through earthly eyes, we might say, well, I know that's mine, but where is it? And then we might feel bad, you know. Listen, this isn't something you earn. He's already earned it. But he wants you to understand it is yours. Say mine. It's mine. Don't be afraid. Say, it's mine. If it's a new covenant promise, it's mine. Yeah, by legal right. So here's what happened. He purchased it for every born-again believer. So if anybody becomes born again, they get the goods. But think about this. Now, he died that anyone in the world, it says he died for the sins of the whole world. So no one's left out. Anyone that wants to be born again can have this. But not everyone will choose it, right? Well, he offered the filling of the Holy Spirit, but not everybody wants that, do they? Some people say, well, I want to be born again, but I don't like that baptism of the Holy Ghost thing. Or I'll take that, but I don't really want tongues. Or I'll take that, but I don't really like that whole healing thing. We see it all the time. You will get what you receive, what you believe for, what you ask for. And you get to pick how far you go. Now, I know some of you heard this, but some of you haven't. God taught me that he released everything in heaven already, and it is literally there waiting for us to take it. Okay? And the way he showed it to me, he called it a staging area. And he showed me that in a great warehouse, they actually pick all the product and they place it in a staging area and they stack it up like a 40,000 pound truck, okay, a semi. They stack them in rows like these semis, but they don't put it on the semi. They put it in the staging area, and they go away, and they're done. When the truck backs up to the loading dock, different people take that stuff, and they load it on the semi. God has put all your stuff in the heavenly staging area. With your name on it, it is yours. If you're crying out to God to do it, He's saying, I did, I've put it there. Learn how to receive. We need to learn how to receive what is ours. And I'm going to say this, you know, I don't have a better way to say it, so pardon my expression, but it pays to be greedy in the kingdom. We want all that He died for us to have. You know, when I was young and still didn't know a lot of truth, God was trying to teach me. And I had that false belief system that, well, maybe He doesn't want me to have certain gifts. And God said, no, I want all my kids to operate in the gifts all the time. I would love it if all my kids would operate freely in the gifts of the Holy Spirit all the time. I would love that. You see what Satan does? He tries to tell you, well, I don't know if God wants you to have that. Yeah, God wants you to have that. And you know why? Because anytime you operate in a gift accurately and correctly, it causes people to want Jesus Christ more. It causes them to want heaven more. Laurel and I went on a little trip one time, and we were in a coffee shop, and Laurel witnesses to everybody and everything. Remember that guy, Laurel? What's his name? Lars or something? Yeah, Lars. And Laurel starts witnessing to him, and I'm just kind of standing there quietly, and she says, my friend here just loves to pray for people. Hi, why don't you pray for him? You know, I totally just wasn't even thinking, you know, about praying with this guy. But I prayed with him, and God released a word. And I could tell he was at first like, I don't know about you Christians, you know. And the honest truth, I think he might have been on the edge of a kind of a New Ager guy, I'm not sure. But you know, God cares about people, and the gifts, the purpose of the gifts is to, He's not showing you off, He's showing Himself off. Because anybody who is an unbeliever, when they see a real gift in action, they know there's a God in heaven, and they know He's good, and they want Him. So if you've had a wrong idea about, I don't know if God wants to use me, and I'm not saying you have to be called to a special ministry, but what about your kids? What about when your kid is in trouble and they aren't telling you and you know something's wrong but you don't know what it is? What if you have a teenager who's in real trouble and God gives you a word of knowledge? And you tell them, listen, a lady, a total stranger, here's how I fell in love with the gifts of the Spirit. A total stranger at a women's conference said to me, is there something wrong with your back? And I said, no, you know, I didn't, there was, but it was such an old thing and wasn't hurting, so, I, you know, no, not really. She said, did you fall off a horse when you were a kid? Well, let me just say, she had 100% of my attention, because only God could have known that situation. Even my folks didn't know the fullness of that situation. And God healed my spine. I had actually fractured it and it healed wrong. And I wasn't even asking about it because it didn't hurt. It just healed crooked. That was, you know, oh well. But God was trying to show off to me, to show me who He was and the greatness that He has. And I'll tell you something, when God does that to you, I don't care who you are, you know it was God. You know God is on the scene and you want more. The gifts are to draw people and to make them hungry. I'm going to have you say this. I receive the gifts.
I receive the gifts.
I receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
I receive the gifts of the Holy
Spirit. Lord, teach me how to walk in the gifts.
Teach me how to walk.
Teach me how to be accurate.
Teach me how to be accurate.
Let it become the new normal.
Let it become the new normal.
In Jesus' name. Now I want to explain something to you. There will be times some people are afraid to move in a gift because they're afraid they'll miss it. Just go real easy, you know. And while you're learning, when you're first learning, you might make some mistakes. God will not fall off the throne. It's okay. But He wants to train you. See, I used to think, well, you just flip a switch. You either, you know, you have it or you don't. It's a gift, so you have it or you don't have it. But that's not the case. What happens is we all have access to the gifts because the Holy Spirit is living in you. And He is constantly moving in the gifts. He constantly has stuff available for people and for you, by the way. He constantly has an answer to your current need. Always. It's not like He has to go away and figure it out. He already has your answer. He already got it. And He loves nothing better than when you say, "Can you help me? I don't know what to do with this." Ask Him specifically. Ask Him for words of knowledge. Ask Him for something that will help your family or somebody in your job. And just, you know, just go easy with it. You know, you don't have to be like, "Surely the Lord would say to you, hallelujah." You don't have to do that. In fact, don't do that. You just go real gentle and say, "You know, I'm not sure. I saw this thing, and, you know, this is, I saw this picture. I heard this phrase. Does that mean something to you?" And then monitor real closely because you want to make sure it's accurate. Just kind of monitor their response. Because you will not always know if it was accurate, but they always will. That's who knows if it's accurate, is the receiver. Because often you give a word and you think, "What in the world does that mean?" And the receiver will go, "What? Tell you exactly what that means." Yeah. And so I feel like God is saying to you that He has released giftings freely, and He wants... Some people have been, you're like the wallflower, you know. Remember in the old days they called it a wallflower. Somebody just would stay off to the side and kind of try to melt in with the with the wallpaper and try to look invisible because they weren't getting picked for the dance. And so you've hung back. But I feel like when it comes to this, God is saying, "Let me train you. Let me raise you up, even if it's just for the sake of your family. Even if it's for the sake of those you work with, I want to show myself strong in you." He's reminding me of that scripture that the eyes of the Lord roam continually throughout the earth. He's always looking, always searching, always hunting the earth over and over, looking, it says, for someone whose heart is wholly His. W-H-O-L. Holy. W-H-O-L-E-L-Y. Holy His. Maybe there's no E. Laura can edit the tape. So that He can show Himself strong in them. He's not just looking for somebody whose heart is wholly His. It's so that He can show Himself strong, show Himself off, show heaven in earth, that people can glimpse Him through you. That's the idea. And I know I'm sitting in a room full of people. You wouldn't be here if your heart wasn't His. You ought to be pretty hearty to come to one of our meetings. You know, half-hearted people do not usually like our meeting. So I know that there are people in here whose heart is really His. I just see Him releasing. That's why I'm going slow, because He's releasing some things. And don't let it go to the person behind you or the person on the side of you. Say, "I'll take that. I'll receive that." And I know there's a learning curve. I know there's a learning process. Listen, God trained me. I told Him, "I need you to train me. Train me to hear your voice." I knew I didn't know how. And He took 2 years out of my life. And it wasn't to be prophetic. I didn't even know about that stuff. I just needed to know, what was He saying to me, for me? 2 years we spent. He was training me. But guess what? Really, it was a lot longer, because then once I learned how to hear His voice, He began to teach me the next level and the next. And there's many, 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 many levels of hearing His voice. Just waiting to see if He wants me to tell you about some of the levels. I think He does. Hallelujah. See, some people actually believe and teach that once in a while God will give a word. You know, once in a while He has a good mood or something and He'll give you a word. But you can see from our behavior that we don't believe that way. That anytime we open the valve, there's words. You know, a pastor friend of mine, I'm sitting in the back of his church, he said, "If you get a word, stand up." And I'm thinking, well, if I stand up, I'll get a word. And if I don't stand up, I won't, unless I ask. Because there's a measure, there's a way of opening the valve, and there it is. Oh, wait, there's another, wait, there's another, wait, there's another, close the valve. Okay? But that doesn't happen at first. At first, you hear haltingly, and you're not sure. And the truth is, everybody in this room hears, but we have to learn to know what his voice sounds like. Okay? Because he's not speaking into our intellect or our outer ears. Right? He's not speaking through our emotions or our doctrine. He's speaking into our spirit. Our born-again spirit, that's where he speaks. And so that takes a little bit of training, but he will train you. And it's good to take time. You know, I learned something. I used to give prophetic classes, and then I saw that some people would learn and they would have accuracy, and some people they couldn't have cared less if they were accurate. They wanted to be seen of men. And it did damage to the body. And I had to gently ask them, you know, please don't do that here because you're hurting people. But you see, it's worth it to take the time, because after you learn to hear what he's saying, if you're faithful in it, right? What does he say? Attend to my words. Yes, he was talking about his written words, but he's also talking about his, that rhema word, that the picture. See, a lot of times people will see something or hear something internally, but they blow it off and they say, well, that wasn't God. You know, God doesn't, at least for me, he doesn't speak in a booming voice. I don't get lightning and thunder and goosebumps. It's so quiet. It's so small. And often it's not a sentence. It's one word, literally. Or a flash of a picture so light that I think, what? Was that you? So it isn't that he's not speaking, but a lot of times we say, well, I don't think that was God, and we kind of shut it down. Okay? Here's a good way to learn. Get yourself a journal if you don't already have one. And if he says something to you and you're not sure if it's him or not, that's okay. Write it down and date it. If you're not sure, that's okay. Just write it down and date it. Every time he says something to you or shows you a picture, write it down and date it. And after about 6 months, you go back and read, and you will actually see things that have come to pass that you saw ahead. See, because how else will you measure if you're accurate? How else will you be sure that it's him? You have to grow in your confidence in it, right? And this is not, I'm not telling you this so you can go and prophesy. This is how to do life. It's how to do relationship in God, is to spend time with him until you can hear a pin drop in heaven. Then once you get to where you get a word or a phrase or a sentence, he'll teach you how to listen at length. He'll teach you. I remember when he was first teaching me, he would have me go on these long walks. And he would say, do you remember this scripture? And do you remember that scripture? And do you remember that scripture? And then he would teach me about it in a way that I'd never heard. It was like opening a door to wisdom and revelation. It was amazing. I would say, well, I never heard anybody say that. I would go to the church the next day and I'd say to my friend, listen to this. You know, she'd say, where in the world did you get that? Hallelujah, I got it from the Holy Ghost. See, because he has all wisdom and all knowledge. And what did Jesus say? Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. He also said in his word, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. You might say, well, my mind doesn't know. No, your carnal mind doesn't. You say we have the mind of Christ, but we know our carnal mind isn't the same thing as the mind of Christ. Because if it was, you'd never have a bad thought. You'd never be crabby. You'd never say anything wrong. So we know that we have this, our own intellect, we have that, but we also have the mind of Christ, which is in your spirit, in the spirit man. And I'm not 100% sure that it's not just flat out the Holy Ghost. And what does that mean? We have access to all knowledge. I used to be a programmer, and I remember I remember I had to do something, well, this won't mean anything to you, but I had to do something in a what now would be considered just an ancient language. Very, very difficult. It's all letters and numbers. Very, very hard to figure out. And I did a lot of work with it, and I really applied every solution I knew, and I could not solve the problem. And I worked that problem every which way, and it was just beyond me. It might as well have been, you know, rocket science, honest to goodness. I couldn't get it fixed. I was pretty good at my job. And I went out in the car, and did you ever have a problem that you just almost drove you to tears because you just couldn't get it to work? And so I went out and sat in the car at lunch hour, and I said, listen, I got to have some help. And I just kind of laid my head back, and all of a sudden, in my mind, I went, bing, I know what to do. I know what to do. Now, that came from him, make no mistake, because I had tried everything I knew, and I went back and applied it, and it worked completely. Isn't that interesting? So God knows programming. God knows science. He created your eyeball. He knows your kid. He knows your heart. He knows about your thumb. He knows about your toe. He knows about what you're scared of. He knows everything, and he already has the solution. And so for us to stay outside and fear and worry and fret is just a waste of time. You can waste years staying outside, fearing and fretting and worrying. And I know some of you have heard this, but too bad you're here again. When the Holy Spirit was teaching me about these things, I had some friends, it was a couple, and they were in a really dire situation. And I knew the word of the Lord for them. I had the word of the Lord for them, and I knew it was God, and I knew it would fix their problem. And they did not want to hear from me because they did not respect who I was. They didn't respect, you know, they didn't want my opinion. And I was laying in bed, and I was crying. I said, Lord, I know that would help them. And the picture I had was, it was like they were in their kitchen, and I was outside a screen door, and I had the answer, and I so wanted to help them, and they didn't want help. And I was crying. I said, Holy Ghost, I feel so bad that they don't want to hear this. You know, I don't know what I expected him to say, but this is what he said. He said, that's exactly what my people do to me. I stand outside the door with the answer from day one. You know what we do? You know what a lot of people in the body do? They stumble and bumble and try everything they know, and when they've completely failed and a year has gone by, then they go to God and say, oh God, won't you show me? Well, what the Lord has taught me is ask him day number one, minute number one, second number one. Don't say to me, well, I don't hear from God. Listen, God can talk to you without you hearing him. I had a relationship with God long before I ever heard his voice. Here's what relationship looks like. Lord, I don't know what to do. Show me how to do this. Be specific. Ask your questions and be specific. And then don't worry if he doesn't answer you right that second. Most of the time, he might not. When you're first starting, you might not hear it right away. But know this, he'll find a way to get you the answer. Because he's a good father. He's good. He'll find a way to get it to you. If you miss it, he'll find another way. And if a day or two goes by, don't worry about it. Say, Lord, don't forget, when you're able, I want to know that answer. Don't forget. Sometimes if I'm in the store and we don't have time to have a real conversation, there's people around, but I don't want to forget to ask the question, I might forget it, I'll say, hey, listen, when we get time to talk, I want to know about this. And then I just forget it. Within a day or two, here it'll come. He'll show me what to do. And I'm going to tell you, I had a relationship with God of hearing and getting direction and clarity, and usually he would answer me through the Word with great clarity, great, great clarity. And then some years later, I figured out that there was more. But even if you never so-called hear from God, you can still hear from him in other ways. It's a relationship, and he doesn't expect you to go around with, you know, noise-canceling headphones and blinders because you can't see and hear and you're blindly trying to do this thing. He expects you to ask him and be specific. I mean, I'm real specific. I ask questions like a 3-year-old kid would ask. And if I don't get, if he gives me the answer and I don't get it, I say, I don't get it. Tell me another way. I still don't get it. You got to tell me another way. I know you've explained this to me 20, 50 times. You're going to have to do it again because I still don't. You're going to tell me till I get it. And you know what? He's so good. You know that he never, ever gets mad at that? He's never impatient. Never. He'll say it another way. He'll say it another way. He'll say it till you understand it. Until you go, okay, I think I get it now. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. I had a dear lady say to me, I don't hear from him, so I can't have relationship. And I said, oh, that's not true, you know. And so she was living her Christian life on the feeling like she was on the outside, just sort of throwing prayers over the wall and hoping he would hear. You see? But relationship, it's friendship. It's friendship. Some of you have problems that are still unresolved. God wants them resolved. He wants to heal. He wants to touch. He wants to be involved. He doesn't like to be left out in the cold, so to speak. He likes to be involved in our details. Do you know the Lord? You know, I never could cook. I never liked it. I never wanted to. And it just, you know, just not my thing. And so whenever people would come over, it'd be like, ooh, you know, I couldn't even make coffee. Honest to goodness, I couldn't make coffee right. And it just wouldn't come out right. And so I told the Lord, you're going to have to help me with this. And to this day, I can be at the other end of the house, and I just know the buzzer is going to go off in about 30 seconds. And as I'm walking towards the stove and I pick up the hot mitt, you know, the mitty thing, the buzzer will go off. You know, the brownie box will say, you know, 32 to 34 minutes, and the Lord will say 33. Because he knows I'll mess it up, you know. See, we have this idea that he only wants to do the big important things, but no, he loves to be involved in your every little thing. He knows I can't shop. I don't shop well. I hate shopping. I hate trying on clothes. I don't care about it. If it was up to me, I'd wear jeans with a hole in the knee and my raggedy t-shirt and would wear it all the time. In fact, when I first went to my first Bible study, my good friend, saw my outfit and started, oh, Lord, would you bless that poor girl? And I was making this massive amount of money, but I just never cared about clothes. So when I'm shopping, the Lord has to help me. I mean, I have to say, would you please help me buy pants? I hate trying on pants. He actually enabled me to go online, order them, and they were perfect fit. He told me, here's what you get, here's what size you get, boom, done. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to go to the store. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say is it's a relationship. You know, women will have their friend go with them and tell them what purse to buy, okay? But let me just say to you, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Some of you, and I know this might sound like the ABCs, but some people in here have been so afraid of God, so afraid of being close to him, so afraid of being rejected by him, or so feel like they're not enough that they haven't stepped over into a real relationship. Now, this is going to sound irreverent, but it's not. I love God, and I love him enough that I really want to live for him and die for him. I want the whole of my life to be for him, so I don't want to say this and make it sound irreverent. But when you're close to him, you get pet names for each other. I mean, without thinking, I called him Pops one day. And I didn't mean to. It was just it popped out of my mouth. God will tease you. You can get to have a relationship where he'll tease you about stuff. You know, he'll tease you. God's funny. God is really funny. You know, some of y'all have your underwears too tight. You have too much starch in your drawers. I remember I used to tell people, God is able, Mabel. And I would say that all the time. One day I'm standing there doing dishes and I'm thinking, I wonder if I could do that. And he said, you're able, Mabel. God is a lot of fun. And he's trying to help people understand that it is okay to have God for your best friend, your closest confidant. I go to God when I'm at my worst, you know. Do you have a friend that can see you at your worst and doesn't, you don't care? Everybody should have a good friend like that. That when you're just, you know, not quite getting it right, you know, your hair's going the wrong way and you're, you know, But you have a friend that's close enough that that doesn't matter. Well, that's God. You know, God, you know, He sees you in the all together. You know what I'm saying? He sees you when you go to bed and He sees you when you get up. So you might as well just have a relationship about the thing and just be straight up with Him and honest. Say, Lord, I have tried to get this right. There's some things that some of you have tried for years to get it right. There's some people in here with habits. You've struggled and struggled, and you've tried everything you know to break the habit, and you haven't been able to break that habit. And you know why? Our flesh doesn't have the ability to break an addiction or to break a habit. We don't have that in our flesh, right? It's only Him that can do it. And so when you have a problem like that, the devil will try to condemn you. Look at you. All these years went by, you still got that problem. You're still addicted to that thing. You're still got a problem with that. You're still not free. Look at you. That's what the devil does. He's called the accuser of the brethren. But here's what the throne of grace is about. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What that means is you can go every day, several times a day, and say, Lord, I've tried to free myself. I don't seem to be able to do it. I've tried everything I know, and I haven't been able to do it, but You're able. I'm calling on Your grace, and I'm not going to quit coming here. I'm going to believe You not only to forgive me, but to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Not only to forgive me, but to cleanse me from that propensity, that habit, that whatever it is, right? Yeah. And I'm not going to quit coming. I'm going to believe You. You know I'm not able. You've seen me try and fail and try and fail and try and fail. But listen, the Lord does not condemn you when your heart is, oh, God, I want to be free. God, I want to walk holy. See, because God judges the heart, not the outward appearance or manifestation. The person that has a problem who says, I'm good the way I am, you know, and just justifies it, that guy's got a problem. I can't let it go. Someone in here, there's a couple people in here, you have some addictions, and you've really tried. You know, it's like you'll quit and go back and quit and go back and quit and go back. And I saw the Lord unlocking and unhooking. Unlocking and unhooking and releasing. And one of the things He's saying is, I don't want you to feel condemned. I just want you to come to Me continually. It took me 8 years. When I got saved, I had a problem. Some things when I got saved, I got set free. But there was this one thing, and 8 years I battled this thing. And I battled every way I knew. I fasted, I prayed, I yelled at the devil, I prayed in tongues, I did everything I knew to do, and it just wasn't working. And then I learned about the throne of grace. Grace does not just smear over sin like it, you know, it doesn't just excuse sin. That's not what grace is, okay? It's grace. Grace leads us to repentance. Grace leads us to holiness, true holiness, not the fake stuff. Grace leads us to be changed when we couldn't have done it. It leads us to be delivered when we couldn't have been delivered. Grace is God's ability to do what we couldn't do. And so for those 8 years, I learned about the throne of grace, and I would come and say, forgive me and heal me of this. Deliver me. Set me free from this stupid habit. I hate this thing. And it would come and go and come and go and come and go. And I would think, yay, I'm delivered. And here it would come again. And I would fail. And see, the devil wants to use that as to beat you with a stick. But God says, My grace will deliver you. You just keep coming. You just keep coming. You just keep coming. You just keep coming. And one fine day, I sat in the kitchen and I said, Lord, what is wrong with me? Why am I like this? And He said one sentence, and I was forever set free. One sentence. Forever set free. And that's something. And that was, oh, golly. I bet that was 30 years ago. And so free that not even one time has the thought ever reoccurred to me. Not even the thought. That's free. When you used to be addicted to something, you used to be bound by it and couldn't even help yourself, didn't have the self-control to deal with it. 30 years of not one thought, that's free indeed. God is not mad at you. He loves you. He remembers our frame that we are dust. But what he does love is a person that says, I won't be satisfied until I wake up in your image. I won't be satisfied until I wake up and look like you. I won't be satisfied until I wake up looking more like you than I did yesterday. And then I'm going to come for more, and then I'm going to come for more, and then I'm going to come for more, and I keep coming for more. Because you're worthy. You're worthy. And that's a heart that is just so fragrant to the Lord. See, we've been taught some things that are not true. Holiness, there was a so-called holiness movement that taught people, well, if you dress this way and act this way and speak this way, wear your hair this way and behave this way, that's holy. And it was all outward, but it didn't deal with the issues of the heart. At least in some places, they didn't deal with the issues of the heart. That is not holiness. Holiness happens on the inside. And it can only happen through relationship, through being in that place with Him. When I was really blown, I really blew it, God said, "Don't. If you stay out of my presence, I can't help you. But if you come in with all your stuff, you come into my presence with your stuff and your mistakes and your sins and your error, the dirt on your face, you come in, I will cleanse you. I will forgive you and I will deliver you. But if you stay out, I can't help you. You run away from God, you know. So why does the devil try so hard to condemn? Why does the devil try so hard to beat you with the stick of condemnation? Because he is terrified that you'll go into the Holy of Holies. Because if you go in there, and especially if you learn how to continually go in there, it's over for him and he knows it. So he will do anything to keep you condemned, blaming yourself, beating yourself up, constantly looking in the mirror and opposing yourself. That's what he wants. He doesn't want you to walk in the presence and the glory because he has no control over you there. I saw a picture one time of a believer. It was a vision from the Lord. You know, he teaches me in pictures, you know. Like a little kid, you know, can't read yet, he shows you pictures. And he showed me this picture of a believer who wanted to come into the Holy of Holies. They wanted to fellowship with the Lord. And outside the veil, which was open, the veil was open, doors open wide, and the father was in there with his arms open, like, come on in. The father was all excited, my kid's coming in, yay, my kid is coming to see me. But outside the veil, outside the door, the enemy stood there with a sword. And as the believer approached the open door, the enemy began to poke him with the sword and say, you can't go in there, you're not worthy. You stubbed your toe yesterday and you said something wrong. You had a bad attitude. You disrespected somebody. You're a bum. You can't go in there. God doesn't want to see you. You're no good. And what I saw was the person hung their head and they did a U-turn and they walked away. Because Satan was keeping them out. See, God wasn't keeping them out. But Satan used condemnation to get them to think God didn't want them. You see what a big lie that is? And can you see that Satan's real motive, it's not to make you feel bad. He knows who you are. He knows who you are more than you know who you are. Do you understand that? Satan knows who you are more than you do. And he's a nervous Nelly. So he has got to convince you that God doesn't want you around, you dirty dog. And if that won't work, he'll try other stuff. But his real point is to keep you out at all costs. Whatever you do, this is what he tells his imps, whatever you do, don't let them go in the Holy of Holies. Whatever you do, don't let them get in a relationship. Whatever you do, don't let them know that they're forgiven. Whatever you do, don't let them understand about forgiveness and grace and mercy. Whatever you do, don't let them go in that place. I don't care if you've got to use busyness, distraction, food, phone calls, Facebook. I can't believe he's going to make diarrhea. He's going to make me say it. He'll use anything he can because none of those things are the issue. The issue is he's terrified that you're going to go in there and learn how to dwell. You You know, we're not anybody, really. But what we are able to do, we are able to do because we learned how to dwell in a place. When the Lord was teaching me about it, and He was making me do worship, and I didn't know how to play the keyboard, and I didn't know how to sing, and I certainly didn't know how to do both at the same time. And I didn't want to. Ever. I just didn't want to. I didn't want to do that in front of people. That wasn't what I wanted. And God kind of, you know, sometimes He just puts you in a position where, you know, He makes you do it. And I was struggling with it, but I saw something happening. I feel like this is important for somebody here. I saw that the level of my personal relationship and intimacy with God was the level to which I could take others. The level of my personal relationship was the level to which I could take others. In other words, I couldn't take people further than I've gone. And I was asking the Lord questions, and you know how when you ask Him a question, He'll find some strange way to answer you. And a lady walked up to me, I'll never forget this, it was at Crystal Lake, and He was speaking through her, and I don't know if she even knew it. She said, you know, it's like You take us where You go. I said, thank You, Lord, for confirming that. A lot of people want to be used of God and even say they're called to preach. And they know stuff, they have intellectual knowledge, but it has no power. Okay? There are people in here, you felt like, I'm called to preach. Why can't my pastor see it? Why doesn't he promote me? Why doesn't he use me? I'll tell you why. Because God Himself won't release you if all you have is head knowledge. You got to have some juice. Okay? God Himself will keep you hidden and will not release you to do the works of God until you've spent time in the presence. Because we have a lot of people out there who parrot truths. They parrot sermons that they've heard. And they even know how to imitate the anointing. I'm gonna be mean now. I'm going to get mean. And they know how to say it, hallelujah. And it's really convincing, hallelujah. And they shake their jowls. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, there's a wheel within a wheel, hallelujah. Don't you just feel the presence? And everybody goes, oh yeah, that's just so great. And there's no presence. Oh, don't you just feel the Holy Ghost? No, I feel hype. That's hype right there. That's hype. I heard it. I just mean, I know, but it is the truth. And what happened is there was so much parroting of information. The information might have been good, but it did not have power. Did you ever hear two people can say the same thing and at one point it has no power and another guy says it's got power? Do you hear the difference? Yeah. And what's happened is the one person has been steeped in the Holy Ghost. A child who steeps himself in the Holy Ghost. There's kids who know how to steep themselves in the Holy Ghost. And they can heal the sick and raise the dead. And they may not even speak well. It doesn't matter. Because the power of the Most High attends those who attend Him. I said His power attends those who attend Him.